And a happy Monday afternoon to all of you darlings that are listening via satellite, via the web, via your cell phones, because you need to tune in to the Micro Effect 24/7. Such amazing programming, and I am so blessed to be a part of the Rumor Mill News radio network here on the Micro Effect, and it's fantastic always to be here with you. My guest today has really an incredible story, and I'm waiting to hear whether they are online with me. A really incredible story. If you have looked at some of the stats when it comes to harassment, when it comes to cyberbullying, it's off the charts. You heard about that disgusting woman in Missouri that put on a fake Facebook profile to harass her daughter's friend, and her daughter's friend committed suicide. Okay? The levels of cyberbullying, the levels of stalking through the roof. But what you might not know is that by FBI statistics, around 18% of people in the United States claim to be stalked by gangs. That's by three people or more. And that it is an organized effort to undermine their sense of balance, their sense of community. They become isolated. Sometimes they are attacked with directed energy weapons, and it is so frightening. It is so scary, and it is disgusting to think that there are human beings out there that will be a part of this organized effort to tear somebody apart, and they don't even know what they're doing. What the heck are they doing, becoming involved in harassing innocent people around the world, or individuals that are whistleblowers? Or, you know, sometimes people don't even know why it is they've been targeted. Well, our guest this hour, Debbie Newhook, has an incredible story. She is somebody who is in the midst of a gang warfare against her. And her story is chilling, and it is universal. This is a worldwide terrorist assault that people have been trying to unwind for years now, to find out the nature of electronic harassment, gang stalking, and this kind of harassment. Did you see that report in the paper, you guys? The options board, which is an unregulated market, the options, you know, where you puts and calls, came out and stated that there is over $700 trillion in derivatives out there, when $700 trillion, when the gross domestic product of the planet is $63 trillion. Do you see what these jerks are doing? Well, they're just talking about out of thin air. They're pulling this stuff out of a deep, dark hole. That's kind of skanky and musty. Probably has a lot of moss and stuff. And so we need to get stuff together to sit there and say, you know what, you guys, you're going to choke on it. You know what, you're going to lose that. You know what, that's not going to be honored. I'm sorry, that has no security behind it. There is no secured party. There is no secured assets to those $707 trillion of derivatives against this planet with $63 trillion in global domestic product. We need to get stuff together, because they're saying that that's the next fallout. If that is, this place is ash. But the thing is that we have to get in the middle between their insatiable, incredible, demonic greed and our heavenly assets. And I hope you will join us here on Rumor Mill News, that you will join us here on the Micro Effect, that we will get over the hate that we will get over the divisions and that we will come to an understanding of the principles that we all can live together and be able to be stronger by not being control freaks, by not being haters, and by not being fearful. Doubt of self, fear, and ignorance are the major sins that we do as a people that have allowed us to be volunteer slaves. Divide and conquer is so in effect, and it's so easy. It's so dialed into us. And when you become isolated, you can be prone to having some very demonic, some very dark things come towards you. And most of the time, it is completely, 99% of the time, it is completely unjustified how people are attacked in this country. And I am talking about my show's guest today. Her name is Debbie Newhook. She has a very interesting website, and let's see, it is OSNANAIMO.org. She's joining us live on the Micro Effect Rumor Mill News right now. Debbie Newhook, thank you so much for joining us here on this virtual land of exchange.
Oh, hi, Evan. It's really nice to be back on your show. How are you today?
Well, you know, there is a heck of a lot going on. And in okay. going back over and doing some catch-up on what you are talking about with organized stalking, It just angers me so much, Debbie. It angers me that such good people on this planet are subject to this kind of crap. And I just want to get a hold of the people that do this. I mean, it's incredible. But I'm jumping way ahead of myself, Debbie. I'm going to sit back, and I want you to, because this is a new audience for you. I want you to take us back to the beginnings of how it is you became encircled by this kind of demented behavior.
Okay. Firstly, I want to just mention something that you touched on that is kind of a yucky and it's a very uncomfortable topic because people don't want to accept this actually is happening to a whole bunch of people. Now, my experience started back in about 19 years ago in Edmonton, Alberta, and it has satanic overtones to it, but not everybody has that type of targeting how it started. Many people who find themselves on this list for, I call it population control, and that people, us people, are the targets or experiments in population control and how to control the population by doing many different things to us, whether it be community interference, whether it's knowing that we're being under surveillance, three people in the community interacting with us, saying weird things, repeating our conversations, those sorts of things. But so what happened for me was I picked up a ritual abuse case with a case worker. I did contract work for a company that had contracts for the Child Welfare Department. So this came through the Child Welfare Department, but the company that I worked for, which was Humanicare, they didn't want this contract on their books, so I had to become an independent. So I had to go out and get insurance to take on this contract, and that was quite expensive. That's bonding insurance, but really, anyways, so I was an independent, took on this case, but before I took on this case, my boss at Humanicare called me in the office and said, "Are you sure you want to take on this case?" And he was trying to talk me out of it, and I'm just going, like, why? It was back then, you know, it was a good-paying job, and it paid me 24 hours around the clock. So I'm going, why wouldn't I? And he wouldn't tell me why, and he just said, "Good luck. I'll see you in a week." So it was only a week-long contract, but immediately, I think even the day I signed the contract, I had to go in and sign the contract with the government, that's when I started seeing people around me and stalking me in the community, and I thought it was kind of imagining it. I did the term of respite care, but interesting enough, that's when my health started to fail. Didn't know anything about this crime way back then. It took me almost 10 years from that time that it started until I started figuring out that something was wrong with my life. So
wow.
It's very odd things that happened during that time that I lived in Edmonton before I left there and I moved to the west coast of Canada, family. And I actually bolted from Edmonton. But before I left, many things were happening. One, I saw the people in the community following me and didn't know what that was all about. Came home one day and found that all the rabbits were dead in the backyard that my landlord raised. He raised rabbits for meat, but they were all caged in. There was like 15 or 20 of them. They were all torn apart, and it wasn't a dog. The way a dog could have opened the cages.
Hold it. What do you mean torn apart? You mean really viciously? Like,
yes.
You came home and there was a slaughter of rabbits?
Yeah.
All your rabbits were slaughtered in the backyard?
Backyard and all the way, and they were strewn in the alley, and as far as I could tell, all they had was their body parts torn apart and thrown around. There was no dog. I mean, it looked like all the rabbits were there, but just body parts everywhere. So, of course, I was terrified. Called my landlord, let him know what was going on, and I had to go get my kids, and I didn't want them to see it, and I wasn't going to let them. So I had to play around with my day that day so my kids wouldn't see this until this mess was cleaned up. Very gross.
Oh, my God, yes.
So those types of things were happening to me, and then my ex moved back into Edmonton, and I do believe they co-opted him, and they used him to... And they made me believe that he had hired about 10 or 12 people to stalk me. However, I was really having a hard time with that thought because he had no money and I wasn't totally convinced, but still I kind of blamed him for many years until I figured out what was going down for me. And I think once I moved back here, things sort of calmed down for a bit, and before I'd left Edmonton, my health got quite bad, and to the point where I was starting to not even enjoy my sport. I couldn't get energy. So some of the symptoms of directed energy weapons is kind of like fibromyalgia-type symptoms, body pain, sleep disturbances, all that sort of stuff was happening to me. So I come back to the West Coast. I left Edmonton, packed up, sold everything, just had a trailer and kids out here. My kids were young. So I met my folks for about a month, 6 weeks, and my health returned. I was quite fine, and I went back and playing racquetball, and I was feeling good. And then when I found a place to live in my kids, immediately my health went downhill again. So... And they finally diagnosed me with fibromyalgia, but there's many of us in the targeted community, and those are the symptoms that we feel is fibromyalgia type body pain. And so like many of the attacks that we experience mimic, things that they've finally labeled. It took them a long time to label fibromyalgia, by the way. When I was reporting all this body pain, they didn't have a name for it yet. And all he wanted to do was describe me as, Prozac or something like that.
Hold it, Debbie. You're saying that you spent a week with this little girl and your life has changed over past how many years?
19 years. It's never stopped. However, there was a sort of like a time period where I think it was kind of dull. Perhaps I wasn't doing anything that they thought was... I don't know, part of, I can tell you, once I became an activist, boy, then I had a lot of attention, way more than what I had before, and the attention changed. Like, when they were showing me, and they actually did want me to see that I was stalked, when they were showing me, I was stalked. Most of the people who I thought were stalking me were kind of like criminals, really grubby looking people, kind of scary looking people. Do you know what I mean? But then once I actually started understanding the crime and researching it more, and I did a lot of research on it before I even got out there and was vocal. I needed to understand what the heck was going on for me. But once I understood it, then the stalkers changed, and I had them trying to intimidate me. Probably had friends in the military who had access to military vehicles. I would suddenly have military vehicles around me. And I think it was all attempts to scare me.
But what do you mean, around you? What do you mean?
Yeah, like, well, always, yeah. We kind of get mobbed in the community. So if you're out in the grocery store, you get mobbed by a lot of people. If you're driving in your car, it's like a caravan that follows you down the highway. A caravan of people.
A couple of times,
these caravans drove me off the road. That's actually when I got angry and I started fighting back. The third attempt run me off the road. That's when I became the activist. And I started finding people here in my hometown who were also targeted because of the activism. And then I sort of looked around in the whole area, Vancouver area, big city in Vancouver, across the water from us and down Victoria, started finding people who were targeted the same as me, but not, you know, they're targeting some of the reasons they were targeted. One woman, she just feels that her husband was actually involved in these gangs. Mm-hmm. And she saw something, paperwork. He was a lawyer, by the way. And he realized that she knew something, but actually at the time she did not know what she was looking at. And anyway, that's her reason for being a target. Another woman who was here in this area, she always has said, feel like a medical experiment. Feel like a medical experiment. Well, she started seeing some of the surveillance, but nothing like, yeah, I do believe that she might have been a medical experiment as well. She thought, mysteriously got Lyme disease. And then she nearly died, I don't know how many times, with all these medications they had her on.
Mm.
And so she has seen some of the oddities in the community, and there actually are people that there's a small percentage of the people, I would say. It's like the bully in the schoolyard. Somehow they can get people to jump on board this. They do tell lies about us. So I don't know what kind of lie they can tell now, because I have signs all over my car. Right now, my signage is about smart meter that they want to hook in to everybody, and it's happening right in our area. So right now, my signs are with that kind of activism right now. But the people who follow me around, I know that they know that they're lies that they're being told. So there's a small percentage of the people, I think now, they've kind of weeded out the ones that they kind of co-opted, and those people who were co-opted are seeing the big picture. I even think some of these people that were involved are waking up as well, which is a positive thing. So then it just leaves like this small percentage of people. We call some of the people here on Vancouver Island call them minions. They work for the 1%. I mean, the 1%, there's no way they would get their hands dirty. They need people in the communities to, you know, to push ahead with their agenda, whatever their agenda happens to be in that neighborhood.
You mentioned something about Agenda 21. Tell us about what you were talking about there.
Well, part of Agenda 21 is to have the community police itself. So that's exactly what this organized stalking is. Only they had to, I do believe, they had to back. And so many of the people who found themselves on this target list were just target practice. I do believe that their goal was actually to control the population, in particular right now in these times where there's many, many activists out there speaking up. And this is what we're seeing here, at least locally, and other targets who are involved in educating the public and the movement. They're starting to see as well that there's you're being targeted, that the vocal ones are being targeted. Population control. So now, not only are the people who were targeted for like 20, 30 years, and some people have been targeted that long, those were the experiments. They're not coming off the list. They're still on the list because they know too much. Now, they know that stalking and harassment in the community, they know there's direct. They know they get a voice to skull, which is a military weapon, by the way. They call it, one of the reasons, where it's phrases. Microwave auditory effect. I do believe they also call it synthetic telepathy. The military wanted it for instant communication on the battlefield. So now the battlefield is right in your back.
Yes.
So I you were talking about people. Like, I've been paying attention to my statistics on my website,
yes,
which is www.osnanaimo.org, and it's NANAIMO.org. So back in
what's
October,
that stand
I wrote
for?
It.
I'm sorry. Please spell out that acronym.
Okay, OS Nanaimo, NANAIMO. Nanaimo is the name of the city that I live in.
Okay, great.
And it's a Native Indian name. Anyways, I was paying attention to my stat counter the last few months, and we had some interesting hits on it, and like unbelievable the hits from all over the world, all over Canada, all over the United States, small towns. Some of these towns I've never heard of. Some of them I have. For example, we got Fairlawn, New Jersey, Bradstone, Dorset, UK, Henry, Illinois, Salem, Missouri, Chicago, Illinois, San Diego, Lundenburg, Nova Scotia, Bryan, Ohio, Duncan, BC, which is down the road from me, New York, Fort Falls, Idaho, Donny, California, Wetland, Ontario, Moscow, I can't even pronounce it, it's a foreign country, Sydney, Australia, India, Turkey, Japan, Rome, Italy. These are just some of the cities and countries that I pulled off the internet, and this is all on one day.
Wow, one day.
This is on October the 5th. Okay, and here's some of the key words that people were keying in. They didn't had no idea what's going on for them. Okay, so resort stalking and gang and texting. These are key words that this person put in. So obviously this person was at a resort before they finally clued in. Government experiments on BC citizens. Lawyer for electronic harassment. Stalker hiding in plain and showing victim to restrict his rights. Group stalking. Signs that are you who are being gang stalked. Electronic harassment statistics. Citizens who are victims of gang stalking. Electronic harassment. Oh, I got some other good ones. Wrote down. Signs that you are harassed and stalked. Car breakdown. So, like, some of these key words, I can tell that they've had some car problems. Yes, we have car problems. They tried to sabotage my car, but fortunately my car was brand new, and I survived for 6 months with only 1 liter of oil in it. It didn't seize.
Oh,
yeah, it was. So now I have a private person that I take my car to. I don't trust anybody, and that's part of the problem is they do these funny little things to us. It's not funny. It costs us money. They can damage any electrical equipment in our house. They could crash my computer if they wanted to, but I think they want to pay attention to me, so they let me have a computer because they know I'd probably just go buy another one. And one of the things I found I had to do is I had to buy extended warranty on everything. So you buy the extended warranty, they destroy it, you take it back, you get a new one. So they kind of stopped with doing that. So these are just some of the stats one says call police, cult stalking, Dallas stalking, government stalkers, gang stalked by Satanists, Can you get stalked by a group of people?
Really? These are all, wow.
These are phrases. I can see the phrases that they key in to land on my site. And those are the ones that are really interesting to me, because these are the people that have no clue what's going on. They're just keying in words and hoping they find some information. Now, my site's one of hundreds of sites, so my site is just one. So people can land on other sites as well, you know, phrases. Mind control, that's another one. I even had down here, Deb, mind control.
really?
Or they keep... I see some activists' names keyed in as well. Eleanor White, who fights for this crime as well. So those are some of the other ones that I see as keywords. Eleanor White, some of the other people who've been on radio shows with me, their names are keyed in. I guess people try and find out what they're doing or what they're up to, or who knows. And huge amount of people, like we noticed some huge increases for about a month to my website, which happened to kind of coincide with during the time that the occupation started as well. So I don't know whether there's any correlation or not. Mm-hmm. I do know that my that's one of the things that the perpetrators hack is my stat counter, so it could be that I'm surmising this, I'm just taking a guess. It could be that many of the people who hack interfere with targets, especially the activist ones, perhaps they all had to hit the streets, because we have noticed here locally that the occupation, they censor us. I'm not allowed to talk about this out there. I'm not allowed to talk about leaders. I'm not allowed
to
talk about
chemtrails. Out where?
At our occupation, right in my city.
Oh, you mean like the Occupy movement that's going all the way, all over the world? So you go out there to talk about this, and who stops you from talking about it?
These facilitators who came in and bombarded and took over. And they literally, I know one of the gals here in Nanaimo who started the occupation here, and she was bullied out. She was treated, it certainly looks like they're kind of like the people who follow the agenda of the 1%. No, we're not allowed to, and we even have a Facebook group, and they're censoring us there. They delete it, delete posts, they attack us. They call us conspiracy theorists.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Those are exactly the provocateurs that embed themselves all across these movements. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? That they show themselves. What I don't understand is how the mass of people that are out at these Occupy movements, when they see these control freaks, when they see these little Hitler, you know, commie types out there shoving people around, how can they be so malleable? How can they be at a time when people are looking for truth, are looking to be heard, that those types aren't kicked to the curb? I really don't understand.
Yes, yes. Well, they have a large following.
I'm sorry. I really don't understand how the mediocre and the mean people, the mean set, evil and kind of angry individuals seem to always get a hold of things. And I've really experienced this within the left, within like the control freak communists. And I'm sure it happens all the way across the board. That must be so infuriating to think that you're coming to a safe space, but yet you are seeing those individuals show up.
We hope you enjoyed this free excerpt from today's program. Register to become a sponsoring member so you can hear the complete interview for any of the radio shows in our library. Just click the sidebar link and select your membership level. It's that easy.